4. Faraid Sound, Kingdom of Delphirok.
They're what?
Sir Vic Lakir jerked upright in his chair, staring at the very young officer on the far side of his desk. Lieutenant Charing had become a rather frequent visitor in Lakir's office since the bloody August fiasco here in Faraid, because he was in charge of Lakir's clerks and message traffic. There'd been a lot more of that traffic over the last 2.5 months, and very little of it had been pleasant. In fact, Lakir was more than a little surprised that he was not only still in command of the Faraid garrison, but that he'd actually been promoted when that garrison was reinforced by providing the gunners for its batteries. He wasn't certain if that meant King James recognized that it hadn't been his fault, but he was certain that he might yet be dismissed if the church demanded it. Which, given the fact that it was the church's own bloodthirsty inquisitors who had truly provoked the massacre, was still entirely possible. It had become less probable, however, when the church proclaimed its version of what had happened here. Lakir didn't know whether he was more outraged or infuriated by the blatant lies, but one reason for his anger was that he couldn't quite shake a sense of gratitude as well. By placing all of the blame on the Carisian victims, rather than on anyone, especially the Inquisition, here in Faraid, it had diverted at least some of the heat from him as well. What had astonished him, at least initially, was how many people living right here in Faraid actually believed the church's version. When he'd first realized that was the case, Lakir had been forced to remind himself that it had all taken place in the middle of the night, and that the first thing anyone in Faraid, outside his own units and the Inquisition, had known about it was the sudden eruption of cannon fire in the harbor. But if he'd understood Lieutenant Charing correctly, everyone involved was about to get a painful demonstration of the ancient principle that, for good or ill, all actions had consequences.
"Major Fairley says that at least 15 Carisian galleons are standing through the East Pass, sir," the lieutenant repeated now, in response to his question. "He believes there are more of them than he's seen so far, or rather than he'd seen when he dispatched his message."
Lakir's jaw clenched. Major Adam Fairley commanded the defensive batteries on East Island, which covered the narrowest portion of East Pass, the easternmost of the 3 navigable passages into Faraid Sound proper. But East Island was 130 miles from Faraid itself.
"How long did his message take to reach us?"
"Only about 4 hours, sir. He sent his dispatch boat across the mainland, and the semaphore chain transmitted it from there."
"Only about 4 hours," Lakir thought. "I wonder if Fairley is still alive." "All right," he said aloud. "It'll take them at least 15 or 16 hours to get here, even after they clear the pass. That wouldn't put them off the harbor until after dark, and I doubt they're going to want to launch any significant attacks without enough light to see what they're doing."
He glanced up and paused as he saw Charing's expression.
"Yes, Lieutenant?"
"Sir, it's just, well, what if they don't get past East Keep at all?"
The youngster sounded as if his feelings had been hurt by his commander's automatic assumption that Fairley wouldn't manage to stop them, Lakir thought. He started to reply sharply to the question, then reminded himself that he, too, had once been a young and inexperienced lieutenant.
"I'd have to say it's unlikely Major Fairley and his men will be able to stop them, Towel," he said almost gently. "The Major's already reported 15 galleons. That's at least 700 guns, if our reports on their ship's average armaments are accurate. Major Fairley has only 25. Admittedly, his are protected by stone parapets, but they also can't move. Not to mention the fact that at high tide, and from the timing of his message, the Carisians arranged their arrival to coincide with high tide. Even at East Island, the navigable channel is almost 6 miles wide. His guns have a maximum range of only 3 miles under absolutely optimum conditions, and their chance of hitting anything at that distance is remote.
Unless they choose to engage him, he's not going to be able to do more than annoy them.
Chering looked surprised, although what Laker had just said ought to have been obvious to him. Then again, just looking at a map, it was easy to overlook the sheer width of the channel. Lakier had often suspected that that was precisely what the people who'd authorized the construction of East Keep in the first place had done.
"And that," Lakier continued grimly, "is why I feel confident we're going to be seeing the Carisian Navy right off the port sometime around dawn tomorrow. We've got until then to get ready to greet them."